Hey everyone, this is Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Jake Runyon.
And by our powers combined, we are the Canned Air Podcast. But right now, you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 135. And before I talk about my guests here, I just want to say, man, oh man, the weather has certainly turned here in Columbus, Ohio. I know that this past weekend I posted a video to the PVD Cast Facebook page talking about how I was enjoying the weather sitting on the back porch of my home and listening to the birds chirp and whatnot. And man, oh man, it seems that fall is here. Man, we went from like 78 degrees to a couple days later being 48 degrees. But, I mean, that's how it is, man, in Central Ohio. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and it'll change. You know, that's the old joke here. But anyways, let's talk about my guest. He's coming on the PVD Cast for the third time since I've been doing this podcast. And I always look forward to having him on. So ladies and gentlemen, my guest is Mr. Stephen Hines. He's coming on to talk about his various projects. In fact, Zombie Fabulous, his current project, is going absolutely swimmingly. It's a huge hit, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about a couple of other things. You know, Stephen is a big music aficionado. He plays bass. And we talk a little bit about that. We also talk about the fact that he is an advocate for mental health. And, you know, I think that I've talked about it here and there on this podcast, but maybe I've downplayed it a little bit. You know, I have some anxiety issues myself. I have gone to see somebody about my anxiety. I've you know, done much better with it recently because I have some tools to use to help me for those days when I get up and I'm like, wow, I'm really, really anxious. And, you know, I think it's an important thing, and I admire the fact that Stephen's very open about his own struggles with some mental health issues and, you know, trying to take the stigma away from it. And we talk about that in our conversation, that there still, even in 2017, seems to be a stigma related to mental health issues. But bottom line, if anybody's out there listening and having issues with some mental health issues, you know, get help. Go talk to somebody. Go see somebody. Talk to friends or family or whatever. And don't worry about how society is going to view you or judge you because, quite frankly, it's all bullshit anyways. If you had a broken arm, you wouldn't just let your arm be broken. You'd go to a doctor or you'd go to somebody and get it healed. Well, the same thing, man. Your mind is just like any other part of your body. If it's not working right, if it's broken, if you want to say that, then you go get help. It's just that simple. But all right, with that being said, let me tell you real quickly that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I mean, since we're talking about mental health issues, maybe you want to check out The Mental Health Crisis in Trump's America, written by Richard Friedman. Well, guess what? Audible has it. You could check it out. And as I said, they have literally a book for any subject, any interest, any topic. All you got to do is just check them out. And to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And I do really want to hype about how important this Audible sponsorship is. If you go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast and you do enroll, basically I get a few bucks kicked back to me so that I can pay a few bills here with the PVDcast and keep on doing what I enjoy. So if you can, please do. Again, audibletrial.com/PVDcast. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm going to sit down and talk with Mr. Stephen Hines. Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this installment of the PVD cast. I'm sitting down with Mr. Stephen Hines. Stephen, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am well, good sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. You have tweeted that you haven't been feeling very well. What's the health status right now?
Feeling much better. I started feeling like crap like last Saturday, and I thought, well, it's probably just a virus. If I go to the doctor, they'll say, it's just a virus, write it out. We're not giving you any antibiotics and send me back home. So I tried to write it out, and it just got worse and ended up being diagnosed with bronchitis, sinusitis, all at the same time. And I also had this weird vertigo shit going on where every time I turned my head, it was like things would just kind of take a second to freeze with my senses and then catch up with where my head had moved a few seconds later, and things would kind of swim. And I was like, I'm going to need to take 2 days off of work because it was stupid enough for me to drive to the doctor in that condition, but my wife was at work, and I was like, I need some medicine. But every time I turned my head, I was driving like a freaking grandpa going 2 miles an hour to the doctor, and I'm just like, oh my God.
You know, I laugh only because I've done that too. There's two instances in my life where I drove to the doctors and I'm like, why did I do that? And most recently, it was a couple years ago when I had a concussion from playing a rec league game of hockey. I woke up in the morning like, I don't feel very good. I think I'm going to drive to the doctors. And I got up there and they're like, you have a slight concussion. I'm like, oh, well, maybe. Oh, man.
The thing was, I felt so miserable that I didn't even think about it till afterwards. And I got home and I was like, that was really kind of stupid.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. I'm totally with you on that one. But you're feeling better? You're on the mend?
I am on the mend. I'm still fighting some congestion, which you can probably hear, and fighting a lingering cough, but the marvels of modern medicine are piecing me back together.
There you go. You know, I get worried real quick because you mentioned about antibiotics, and I think that back in the day, I used to get hit with, like, sinus infections quite a bit, and I took a lot of antibiotics back in the day. I'm talking like the mid-2000s, and now they're kind of like, you shouldn't have done that. I'm like, you know, now I get a little bit worried about it.
You know, I never had a single sinus infection until my wife and I moved down to the Dayton area, and I had never even heard of one. I had a student who was sick as a dog, and he came back to school, and he just looked like he wanted somebody to take him out behind the barn and shoot him. And I said, what's wrong with you? And he's like, I have a sinus infection. And I said, what's that? And he looked at me like I was the biggest idiot on the planet and explained it to me. And then shortly after, I got my first one. And I've had them at least two a year, every year since we've lived down here. We lived down here. It's our 20th year.
Yeah, I actually, knock on wood, I have been good for the last 2 years, or last year and a half, I should say. I started going to an allergy doctor and finding out that my allergies and my sinuses didn't drain properly. And so since I've been taking, what do they call those? They're allergy shots, but they have a fancy term for it. And I've been actually doing much better. I haven't had a sinus infection in about a year and a half.
See, that's exactly, I was pestering people on Facebook and asking for some recommendations for a reliable doctor in that area, because this whole past summer, I'm starting to sound like an old man doing nothing but bitching about my physical ailments. But this whole summer, if I was outside for any longer than like 20 minutes, by the end of that day, I felt like roadkill, and it was just, you know, drainage and all kinds of crap. So I'm like, man, maybe even though I've been tested in the past and I wasn't allergic to anything then, things change, you know? So I'm like, I need to look into this because I am freaking fed up with this bull crap.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, enough about ailments. Let's talk about comics and writing books and whatnot. So you are the creator of Cracker Stacker, Valedictorian USA, Zombie Fabulous, which I, from what I understand, Zombie Fabulous has been a huge hit from what you have recently posted on social media. So And also, you are the author of the memoir Rebirth Defect. But let's talk a little bit about Zombie Fabulous for a moment. I know you've been on before. Actually, I'm going to give a quick plug. Episode 74 and 94 of this beloved podcast. So check those episodes out. But just recap for the listeners. What is the simple plot of Zombie Fabulous?
Zombie Fabulous is a trilogy of comics about drag queens who come back as zombies. Issue one is a Cher impersonating drag queen who gets attacked and killed and comes back as a zombie. I don't want to give away too much, but issue two focuses on an Aretha Franklin impersonating drag queen who comes back as a zombie. And then at the end of issue two, those two meet. And then in issue three is a team up with those two together with a few other characters, and they go on a quest to try to heal themselves of their zombieism.
Was it a actual, like, thought-out idea to have a Cher and Aretha Franklin drag queen? Because I'm just trying to think of all the possible candidates. Why those two?
Nothing was planned. I started writing issues. I started writing issue one, and I just knew that Cher has such a huge following in the LGBTQ community on the drag circuit. And I had no idea what issue two was going to be about. I just wrote issue one, and I knew I only wanted it to be a trilogy. And when it came time to do the script for issue two, I just started writing, and it just did its thing. And then when I got to the point where I had to write issue three is when I experienced my first kind of a panic-induced writer's block, because this trilogy has been my bestseller, and I've never had to write a satisfying conclusion to a trilogy before that wouldn't piss off all the people that were, you know, emotionally invested in the first two-thirds of the story. So I kind of locked up and was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Everybody's going to hate it. And that lasted, thankfully, for one day. And the next day I was just, you know what, fuck it. I'm just going to write this thing, let it do what it wants to do. And I am super, super proud of how issue three came out, the script and the art. And I love the ending. I've had one fan tell me that he hates me jokingly for how the trilogy ended, but it came out to be a pretty open-ended and open to multiple interpretations kind of an ending, and that surprised me how it ended while I was writing it, and I freaking love that.
So you've gotten rave reviews for Zombie Fabulous. In fact, you have a t-shirt that's out now, correct?
Yes, sir. It's on on represent.com. It's an amazing pink t-shirt with some of the bonus art from issue three by Daniel Salcido, who used to do the art for Valedictorian USA.
So with Zombie Fabulous, is there any possibility of combining all three into like an omnibus? Have you thought about that? Or is it just going to go, you know, if you want it, you got to get all three books separately.
I'm definitely planning on it. I just need to sell through my back issues that I'm lugging around to conventions right now. for some stupid reason, actually, I know exactly what happened. When we did the Kickstarter for issue two, I tried to order just 100 copies of it because I like to just keep – I'd rather just reorder when I run out than be stuck with back issues for an eternity. And the order, like, didn't go through or something, and I went to send it through again through the print-on-demand service, and it came out 150. So I accidentally got 150 issues of – or copies of issue two – and I've had to reprint issue one like three times now, and I still have a shit ton of issue two that I need to get rid of because of a computer glitch.
I can just tell you right now, this is not something surprising, as I've talked to many independent creators who have said, you think that you're only going to have X amount of books, and somehow you end up with a truckload of them. I can think of the Brian Kennedy telling me a story of, oh yeah, I can get 500 done for cheap. I'll go ahead and just get 500 done. He goes, and then you realize you only sold 72 books, and now you're stuck with all the rest of them in your garage.
Yeah, and what with Valedictorian USA, I compiled the first 5 issues into a graphic novel and put some bonus features in there, like the script and everything, and some bonus art. And ever since I've put the trade paperback out, I can't give the single issues away, except for every once in a while I'll get somebody who's like, "Nah, that sounds like that might be my thing. Let me just buy issue 1. If I like it, I'll come back and buy the rest." So I have like 1 copy of issue 1 left of the single issues, and a buttload of, well, like maybe 3 copies of issue 2, and then all the other issues I have a shit ton sitting around.
Oh man, I mean that one of the, I think you could create that as a hashtag, independent creator problems. There you go, hashtag. So, well, let's talk a little bit about Valedictorian USA, because it was the first book that I read of yours that really grabbed me. But again, let's just recap for those fans that might just be listening for the first time. What is Valedictorian USA all about?
It is a satire of reality television with 9 high school kids competing on a reality TV show, and they're attempting to win a competition on the show to become the valedictorian of the whole country. And along with that, they get a book deal and all kinds of money and fame thrown their way. And of course, all the characters are pretty much walking, talking stereotypes, because that's how they do casting for reality TV. And they intentionally cast people who will cause drama with one another. And of course, there are really stupid challenges and some challenges that actually make sense on the reality TV show in the book, just like there are in real life. But I think it's hilarious. But I think I suck at selling it at conventions. I think I keep working on my sales pitch, and people are just like, I'll go for the drag queen zombies.
Well, you know what? I know that one of the things we talked about before was that you did a lot of research in how casting directors actually slot people into those particular roles. So what was maybe the most interesting piece of information you found about that process? You found out about that process?
Probably the most interesting and disturbing thing was the producers on those shows also edit them, and they're really cheap to make. And so they combine those two roles, and they call them predators.
Yeah. Now, what?
If that isn't symbolic of what reality TV is at its very core, nothing is.
I have never heard that.
Yeah, that freaked me out. I'm like, wow, really? And then the fact that they actually give them psychological testing and intentionally pick people who will fight with each other. And they also, I'm having a brain fart on what I was going to say.
So instead of helping those folks that maybe have a mental illness, they will exploit it.
Oh, yeah, because it's all about them getting rich quickly and cheaply. Yeah. And they actually coach them before the show starts and as the show is going on to be living, breathing stereotypes, because that's what works on reality TV. Nuance does not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, can I ask, do you watch any reality TV?
I did to do research for the book. And I think the last one I even remotely gave any of my time to, and this has been years ago, is that Gene Simmons Family Jewels show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it was obviously so manipulated to try to revamp his public image, because he's nothing but an arrogant asshole.
Yes.
And it was all to, you know, polish Gene's ego and make him look like he's this amazing businessman / humanitarian when he's actually really a selfish douche.
But hey, man, speaking of douche, have you tried the kiss douche? I'm sure it works. Anyways.
Well, I was going to, but.
So let's talk about Cracker Stacker. I know that that is a project. Was that your first project or your second project that you started? Because I know it's biographical. It's about your time working in a supermarket.
Yep. There are true stories of the 12 long years that I worked in a grocery store, working my way up from a stock boy and carryout boy to assistant manager. And then I demoted myself back to a supervisor so I could go to college to be a teacher. Uh-huh. I think it was actually my third project that I started.
Okay. So how have been the reviews for Cracker Stacker and Valedictorian USA?
Well, I was just at a little mini con in Delaware, Ohio yesterday called the Great Geek Fest, and Cracker Stackers was the only thing that sold at that show.
You know what?
Weirdly enough.
Yeah, and I think many creators have talked about that on this podcast, about it's very weird to try to gauge what's going to sell and what's not going to sell, you know, the morning of the con, you know. And we'll talk about some of your other appearances here in a few moments, but oftentimes I think creators think, well, this will sell because I'm here and these other things won't. But so yesterday was maybe not a day for zombie drag queens, but more of just down-to-earth slice of life stories yesterday.
Apparently, I mean, the guy next to me was selling prints and fidget spinners, and that guy was making money hand over fist.
What?
And
are fidget spinners still a hot thing?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
They're making them with Bluetooth speakers built into them now, dude. So you know, because where would we be without a fidget spinner that can play shitty music through it?
Was there a Kiss fidget spinner? Was there? That's the question of the day.
I'm sure if you go to Kiss's official website, you can probably get one.
Right now, somewhere, I hope, just by happenstance, Gene Simmons has not thought of that and goes, oh, damn it, that would be a great idea, you know? Yeah, Minions, get on that! Minions, get on that!
I can make another $6 billion.
Anyways, so let's talk about some of the places you've been. Yesterday, you were in Delaware, Ohio at the Great Geek Fest, and I believe that was at the main branch of the library up there, correct?
Yeah, it was a beautiful library. It was really big. Last year, they had apparently more than one library in Delaware, and it was a smaller one, but I did way better sales-wise at the smaller library for some reason.
Okay, all right.
I think it's because of the way of the setup, because they kind of had a yesterday tucked into the back corner of this huge library, and it's like a maze in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And at the smaller library, people were forced to walk past us, and so my sales were way better, but it is what it is.
Yeah. And then last week you were up in Ketterington, Ohio, for Suburbicon.
Yeah, that's a really laid back, tiny show at an art center, basically. And a community arts center, I should say. And that one, the sales are never really big, but I gradually, you know, get repeat customers every time I go back. And plus they feed us breakfast and pizza for lunch, which,
wow,
which
that's nice.
Earns them brownie points, and it's right down the road from me, and it's a free table. So I'm like, free. We'll sit at a table with comics for free pizza.
Yeah, there you go. I do find it weird that it's called Suburbicon, and isn't there a Coen Brothers movie coming out called Suburbicon?
I think so, because I was trying to find a the con's poster to put on Instagram to promote my appearance there, and all these movie posters were coming up on my Google image search.
Yeah, like, that's what I think. There might be some trademark issues there, maybe. For future events, who knows?
I think the guy who runs the show in Kettering should be suing somebody.
I think so too. Now next week you have a very interesting event that you're going to be at. You're going to be in Yellow Springs, Ohio, for the Yellow Spring Zombie Walk. Tell us, what is that all about?
Your guess is as good as mine.
You've never done this show before.
Never ever. I don't know if I'd say friends, but acquaintances with the guy who owns Superfly Comics in Yellow Springs, which is a badass comic book store if you're ever in the area. And he sent me a message, said, hey, would you be interested in coming to the Zombie Walk? And I was like, can I have a table? And he's like, you can have a booth. And I was like, sweet. And I'm kind of nervous about it, to be honest, because it's a five-hour event, and the table costs as much as some two-day events. And
wow. Okay.
And it's outside, and you know, there's just so many variables, and just kind of like, I'm bringing extra zombie fabulous stuff, anticipating good sales in that area. But back to what you said earlier about how unpredictable it is about what's going to sell at a particular show. Last month I was in Louisville, Kentucky for the Kentucky Free Thinkers Convention,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of heathen atheists getting together and the most famous atheist podcaster, Seth Anders from The Thinking Atheist, was the keynote speaker, and I got to meet him, which was really cool. And I bought extra copies of my Rebirth Defect, my atheist memoir, and I'm like, man, I'm gonna sell a buttload of these things. I sold three.
What?
All day, and I sold a shit ton of comic books and my other stuff because everybody else there had atheist books. I had something that my other stuff was stuff that they didn't have, and it was something different. Mm-hmm. So they were just throwing money at me for my other stuff, and I'm going, but my atheist book.
Can I just say I chuckled because I didn't think I would hear the word heathen today. And so thank you. You filled that quota for me.
You're welcome, kind sir.
So I'm just real quick going back to the zombie walk. I'm really hoping that it's like a 5K, but everybody has to be dressed like zombies. But I have a feeling that's probably not what it's going to be. But that's what I'd like to see.
That might be why it's going to take 5 hours.
Are you saying some zombies would not be very physically fit?
I'm saying, you know, decaying kind of has an effect on your agility and endurance and speed.
Dexterity, I guess.
I guess they're supposed to have food trucks and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So I'm hoping the zombie dog food truck is there. Have you ever had their hot dogs?
No.
Oh, dude, gourmet hot dogs that will blow your mind.
Oh, man. Sounds like Dirty Frank's here in Columbus.
I've heard of Dirty Franks. I've never had the food.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. If you're coming to space, maybe you need to. We'll make a stop down there. That'll be my goal.
I think so. We need to do that.
Right.
Every year, my wife and I say when we go to space that, you know, we're gonna do all this socializing and all that kind of stuff, and then we're both exhausted from the work week, and we just collapse in our hotel room like old farts.
Any chance maybe while you're down in Yellow Springs, you're gonna run into Dave Chappelle?
I have once.
Yeah, I thought you did. I was pretty certain you did. Yes. All right. You did once? He was a nice guy, wasn't he? That's what I hear.
I didn't talk to him because I had heard through the grapevine that it's kind of an unwritten rule down there that he just wants to be left alone and he doesn't want to be treated like anybody special.
Oh, okay.
And my wife and I just, for some strange reason, went down there for brunch on New Year's Day. And it's the Sunrise Cafe down there in Yellow Springs. And we're... It was a big wait to get in, so we were sitting in the waiting area reading newspapers, and all of a sudden I saw this really tall guy stand up. I mean, he was so tall that it just caught my attention above the newspaper that I was reading, and I looked up. He was putting on his coat, and when he looked up, I immediately recognized him, and my mouth fell open, and he looked at me and saw the recognition on my face, and he got, like, really shy and, like, scooted out the door really fast to go smoke until the food was ready. And then he came back in and he kind of smiled and nodded at my wife and went and sat with his wife, and that was it.
There you go. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Rebirth Defect. You mentioned it there. It is your memoir, your atheist memoir. And it's been well received from all of the things and all of the reviews that I've seen online. But maybe just fill us in a little bit on what that book is all about.
Okay. Rebirth Defect is just the true story of me being raised Catholic and being a nerdy little Star Wars obsessed pasty white kid from Willard, Ohio. And gradually I quietly became an atheist when I was about 12, just through reading a lot about mythology and stuff. And then when I was 18, I was in a really horrible spot in my life. Just a lot of existential angst, as they might say, and kind of got sucked into jamming because I'm a bass player with a keyboard player who was a Christian, and we gradually he kept preaching to me, and I got converted, and we formed a Christian heavy metal band, and we did some minor touring, and we had an EP that we released on a cassette, and played some pretty big festivals and stuff, and that gradually fell apart. And anyway, the rest of the book is about me gradually coming back to being an atheist again after going through all those bizarre changes.
How long have you been playing music? Because I know that's a big part of your life. So how long have you been playing bass?
I started, I got my first bass for my birthday in, when I was 16. So coming up on 32 years.
Okay. All right. Who are some of your musical influences?
Oh, God. Do you have a week?
How about top three? Let's go that. Or top five. We'll go top five musical influences. How about that?
Are we talking just songwriters or bass players?
Either or.
Well, my favorite bass player is Doug Pinnick, who is most famous for being in King's X. And my favorite thing that he's been doing over the last few years is a band called KXM with George Lynch, who used to be in Dokken.
Yes,
and George Lynch. Korn's current drummer, who is too good to be in that shitty band. And he's my favorite bass player and singer, as far as that goes, one of my favorite songwriters. Gosh, my favorite songwriter of all time is a guy named Ginger Wildheart, who I've probably babbled about before, because I pretty much worship the ground the guy walks on, because he can play bass, but he's mainly a guitar player and a singer and songwriter. But I respect him so much because he is so prolific, and everything the guy does is just, I mean, he has a few songs that I don't like as much as some of his other ones, but like in the last year, he put out a pop punk album, a country album, and the most extreme heavy metal album I've ever heard in my life. That's how diverse this guy is. And I just respect the heck out. Plus, he writes a lot about mental illness because he has really bad bipolar. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to the lyrics as someone who has an anxiety disorder. And let's see. Other than that,
can I throw out Geddy Lee? Because that was a bass player whose song. Are you a Geddy Lee fan?
I love his bass playing, and I like his singing after he got older and was forced to not like be all screechy.
I knew that's where you were going with that. Only because I have a friend that feels the exact same way. Like, just, he goes, "Oh, the girl from Russia." I'm like, "He's not a girl." Sounds like it.
it's almost like, for bass players, Geddy Lee is like our Shakespeare. As an English major, you're just expected to lick the boots of William Shakespeare, and as a bass player, you're expected to lick the boots of Geddy Lee. And I respect the hell out of the guy. He's an amazing musician and songwriter, but it's not somebody that I gravitate toward. I mean, give me Geezer Butler from Sabbath, or Billy Gould from Faith No More is probably my second favorite bass player. He's just a beast. And Danny McCormick, who played for the Wild Hearts for a long time, and he has a band called, well, he was in a band called the Yo-Yos, which, if you like pop punk, they were freaking amazing. They only did one album before they self-destructed, unfortunately, but I'll stop babbling. I could go on and on about this.
Well, let's talk about a song that you put out called "Sweating Out the Stout." It was for hurricane relief, and as of today, how successful was that campaign to help those folks impacted by the hurricanes that damaged quite a bit of the United States and, well, actually, the whole planet, actually?
So far, I've been able to make one small donation to the Red Cross from the song. I'm hoping it'll take off some more, and because I would love to be able to donate more money. And but
hey, every little bit helps, though. I mean, it really does. And you know, I admire the fact that you're trying to help out. And it's on Bandcamp, correct?
Yes. If you go on Bandcamp, if you search S*HINES. That is my band name, which is just an abbreviation of Stephen Hines. Just abbreviate it with an asterisk. I can barely say that word. And I wrote all the songs. So far, only one song has been released. I still have two songs that I'm waiting on vocals to be done on. It's going to be a 6-song EP called the Punk Metal EP. I play all the bass and all the rhythm guitars. I play lead guitar on some songs, and There's one song that I got a former student who is a jazz guitar player now, who is a child. He was a child prodigy jazz player. Like, he went to Juilliard.
Wow. Okay.
And he did the solo on one of the punk songs for me. And I have a different singer on every song. Have you heard Sweating Out the Stout?
I have not gotten a chance to listen to it. I feel bad. I'm sorry. I haven't gotten a chance. I'm not doing a very good job of my hosting duties on this episode if I haven't listened to it, have I?
Well, I mean, you can go buy download it 80 times after we're done.
There you go. We'll enough said. There you go.
But so since I know in one of your past episodes you were talking about indie filmmakers from Ohio.
Yes.
And the lady who sings on that song has been in quite a few indie movies by Dayton area indie filmmakers.
Okay.
Her name's, I can't remember what her stage name is, but her real name is Christina Lewis. And man, that lady can belt it out.
Really? Really?
She came in, she was nervous, but she came in and she knew the lyrics and she had practiced it. She came in and nailed it in two takes and walked out. And I was just sitting there going, holy shit, what just happened?
Wow. All right, well, I'm checking that out as soon as we're done this podcast here. And you too can check it out again. Go to Bandcamp, and it's S*HINES, and you can find Sweating Out the Stout. Steven, recently you started doing some reviews, I saw, on your Facebook page. You were reading some books and giving your opinion on them for Goodreads, correct?
Yeah, I do them almost any time I read a book that either completely blows me away or completely underwhelms me.
Okay.
And I just don't always check the little box so it gets shared to my Facebook profile. You know, if it's something that was like, man, I can't believe I wasted my time with that, but it didn't piss me off enough to post it on Facebook, I'll just give it a one or a two star thing and move on. But if it's super shitty and I had high hopes for it, I'll blast it on there and then post it on Facebook.
So it's more of a hobby, if you will.
Yeah.
Not so much a gig, just more of a hobby.
Yeah, I mean, I do book talks four out of the 5 days a week in my classroom all the time, trying to get my students interested in reading, and it always goes over better if I've actually read it. I mean, I'll get new books from my classroom that I'll never read, but I try to get the kids interested in reading them. You know, if it's a book that's really girly or something, that's not going to be something I'm going to read, but I'm just always trying to get them interested in reading. And it's pretty amazing how many of my former students are friends with me on Facebook from years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm really glad you post these things from Goodreads, because it's just like back when I had you as a teacher and you did book talks and I missed those. I'm like, really?
You haven't caught any flack for giving a bad review, have you? Like, the author's not emailed you and been like, hey, listen, asshole, you know?
Not yet. I hope so. maybe David Duchovny will see my review of his book called Holy Cow, in which I blast him for being a super preachy militant vegan in his book.
Oh, geez, one of those.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with someone being vegan or vegetarian, but literature is not supposed to be preachy, and I don't want somebody beating me over the head telling me how evil I am because I ate a freaking burger. Yeah.
All right. One final thing here. Well, actually, a couple final things, but you know, we talked about it a little bit off air, and then you just mentioned it here when you mentioned Ginger Wildheart. You know, you've been a very big advocate of mental health issues here in America, and you know, I've been adamant on this podcast at times talking about how I feel like that's the biggest issue facing our nation today, that we totally do not give it the credence that it should have. I guess my question is, you know, given your history with it, why do you think that it's important that people should know about mental health issues?
The biggest thing is the social stigma that comes with it, because when people haven't been raised in a family that it, you know, is hereditary in, like mine. I mean, all through my mom's side of the family, all my aunts and uncles have depression and anxiety. So, you know, I grew up with it. So if people have any exposure to it, they automatically assume that, oh, this person says they have a mental illness. They think that they're you know, like a serial killer or someone who's, you know, batshit crazy who's going to cuss out a bank sign or something like that.
Right.
And so if we don't talk about it and get out in the open and get people to see how common it is and how you can deal with this and have a fruitful existence, you know, be happy and be satisfied with, obviously, with some ups and downs. You know, if we can't communicate that, there's going to be no empathy for people who don't have it. And people who do start developing these symptoms are going to, we're at the risk of them committing suicide. We're at the risk of them, getting addicted to booze, heroin, whatever, to self-medicate because they don't know how to deal with it, how to hang with it, because they don't know, what treatment is out there, or they think it's a sign of weakness if they ask for help, which it totally is not.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think that the social stigma is the biggest thing that really, it hinders the open conversation about things. And by all means, I think the bottom line in this question that I ask is for anybody out there that's listening, if you feel like you have issues related to mental health, talk to somebody. Talking really does help, actually. And you'll find, as I have found out, because I have anxiety issues too, and I found out there are lots of people that do. You think you're the only one, but there's lots of people that do, that have some sort of mental illness.
Yeah, and the hardest thing is if your symptoms have totally kicked in and you're having a really tough time, at least for me, when I was in my darkest time, which is covered in Rebirth Defect, I was just so buried under all of the symptoms that I the thought of even reaching out for help couldn't even enter into my mind. It was just like impenetrable, I couldn't even think about asking for help because I was just trying to survive second by second and wanting it to end at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, bottom line, I admire the fact that, that you are very outspoken about it. And, bottom line, folks, if you're listening out there, you know somebody that has it, or if you have it, talk to somebody. I mean, if you can't find anybody, there are 1-800 numbers there for suicide prevention and for mental health. Call somebody, anybody that you know, any friend or whatnot, and just talk about it.
There's a great group that if anyone's listening and they need to, talk to somebody discreetly and they don't have access to good mental health care, there's a group called the Samaritans.
Yeah.
If you look them up, that's a great group. Ginger Wildheart did a charity song for a fundraiser to raise money for them. Mm-hmm. The song is about his bipolar, and it's called Fuck You Brain. And it's about him saying fuck you to his brain, that he's gonna make it through this day, and he's gonna do this thing even though his brain is at war with him all the time.
Yeah. All right, to switch gears here, my final question. I know too that you also on your social medias, which we'll talk about in a moment, also oftentimes like to get political. So how bad's it gonna get with our current president?
Oh God.
Wow, John, what a way to end the podcast episode with all this happy talk.
this feels just like when I was sick and home from work on Wednesday and I watched Patton Oswalt's new comedy special, and it was hilarious, and I was just laughing, and it was making me feel better, even though I felt like I wanted Grandpa to take me out behind the barn and shoot me because I felt so sick. And then he gets to the end of this comedy special and starts talking about when his wife was murdered, how he had to tell his daughter the next day. And I'm like, no. It was a great comedy special. I highly recommend it. But anyway.
Well, we're going to be like Patton Oswalt. We're going to end on a down note, maybe, I guess you could say. I'll use air quotes because down note, if you will. So,
Is it
going to get better or is it going to get worse?
Oh, it's going to get worse. Trust me. every time I think that Darth Cheeto, as I refer to him as, every time I think he's reached the lowest that he can possibly get, I wake up and check the news, and sure as shit, there's some other madness that spewed out over his Twitter feed or through his stupid blubbery mouth.
Yeah. And it seems to me that every time it's nothing that really is important.
No, he's tweeting and attacking NFL players for supposedly disrespecting troops and people are getting all pissed off about that the people who are getting pissed off about the NFL players kneeling are the people who voted for him, and they voted for a man who dodged the draft multiple times. They voted for a man who disrespected Gold Star families and just did it again.
You know, here's another thing. Maybe instead of focusing on NFL players that won't stand for the anthem, how about getting on Equifax's ass for being idiots and leaking everybody's information? How about that shit? How about doing something like that?
How about getting electricity in Puerto Rico?
Yes, there's that too. I mean, we could spend all day listing all the things that should be a priority instead of NFL players kneeling.
And the sad thing is he came right out of the barrel attacking the media and establishing a narrative of if it doesn't polish that turd that he calls his head, that it's fake news. And so he set it up so he can't be questioned by his followers because they bought that hook, line, and sinker, basically. If I could get a coherent thought to come out of my mouth.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So we've come full circle. We started talking about ailments and being sick to comics to religion, mental health, music, and now politics. So this is probably one of the most well-rounded PVD casts ever. What can I say? Thank you, Stephen.
That's because of my glasses.
Well, let's talk about some social media where folks can follow you and interact with you, find out where you're going to be and whatnot.
Okay. My website is www.stephenhines.org. That's Stephen with a PH. And my Twitter and Instagram handles are both StephenHines67. And no, that is not my age. That is a reference to a King's X song.
People ask you that?
Either that or, is that your IQ?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's not nice. That's not nice at all.
That's a fellow author friend of mine. Well, I think he's a friend, but not sure.
What about Facebook? Do you have a Facebook page, correct?
Yes, I have a Facebook page. There's also a page for Zombie Fabulous, a page for Cracker Stacker, Rebirth Effect, Valedictorian USA, and for my publishing imprint, which is ALB Books, which stands for Albino Leper Boy Books.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So Steven's going to probably be out on tour here next week in Yellow Springs. And any other upcoming dates, maybe for November or December? Or
not at this point. At this point, the Zombie Walk is, at least at this time, my last author appearance of the year. But every time I say it's going to be my last show, something drops into my lap that I can't say no to. So who knows?
Who knows? There you go. So that's why you got to follow him on Twitter or Instagram and check out his website so that you can keep up to date as to where Steven's going to be. So with that, Steven, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man.
And with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Stephen Hines, and boy, did we fit a lot into that conversation, didn't we? I mean, we covered a lot of bases. But if you take one thing away from our conversation, it's the topic of mental health issues. If you're somebody that's listening and you're having some problems with mental health, go get help. Seriously, it's the best thing you could do for yourself. Find a friend, some family members, whomever that can maybe be a good listener, be part of your support system, and go get help. Honestly, you won't regret it. So, and with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. You can shoot me an email at johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at pvdmvp. You can also drop me a line on the Facebook that the PVDcast has. And that, of course, is facebook.com/PVDcast. I've been pretty active over there, and I'm hoping to get more people to like that page. So head on over to facebook.com/PVDcast and give it a like for me. Also, let me remind you where you can get this great podcast. It's 7 different outlets right now that is carrying it. Of course, the easiest place is to go to pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But you can also snatch the PVDcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, and of course the Echo Network. So with that being said, I'm going to head on out of here. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.